We are finally back. It's Wednesday. It's super late. It was not supposed to be this late, but life gets in the way sometimes. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. We're going to cover about, I feel like, 10 different things today because they're all things that we need to talk about. I wanted to have a podcast yesterday, but I wasn't home, so I couldn't do it. The last couple days, I just wasn't around as much as I would have liked to. And Zuri is joining us here on the podcast right now, getting some attention since I just walked back in the door. But, there's just so many things I want to talk about. Senator Chris Murphy slamming Michigan and Harbaugh. We'll touch on that. We obviously are going to touch on all the Big Ten stuff. I want to talk about Rocco Spindler, the schedule. There's so much that we need to talk about, and we have to get it done today. So we're going to do that. We're just going to find a way to make it happen. That's how it's going to go in about 30 minutes worth of talk. So let's do that. I got to tell you, today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So, yes. We are going to get into so much stuff here. All right, let's start with the Big Ten, what they announced. They announced everything. And unfortunately, I was asleep because I was out late stargazing. For those of you who don't know, I've taken to astrophotography over the course of the last year. So I was out fruitlessly trying to take pictures of the Milky Way with some new toys. I got home super late. I went to bed even later. I couldn't fall asleep because my mind was racing with all of that stuff. I wake up because Zuri's barking because I had a delivery come at 10 a.m. and I look at my phone and I'm like, wait, what? So I was admittedly behind. But lots of stuff got announced. The Big Ten announced everything it's doing. Teams can start practices in 2 days. Fall camp, 2 days. They announced a full schedule starting September 5th, going to November 21st, 2 bye weeks. The schedule going pretty much the length that it was going to, at least the length that it used to in a way, save for they have another, bye week. But it used to be, that Labor Day Saturday to the weekend before Thanksgiving until they push things back. Big Ten championship, that game is happening, assuming the season happens. It's still going to be held December 5th, but can be held as late as December 17th. Medical protocols. Testing's being handled by a third-party lab. But, some of these things are things that they don't... Some of the student-athletes, there's a Big Ten United thing going around with student-athletes that want to see more uniformity with a lot of these things. They want to see more consistency. They want to see they want to be included in the process. And I think that that's fair, right? Like it's kind of ridiculous to be like, hey, we want you to go play this game. Here's what we planned. Get them involved. Get them involved. You're getting student athletes involved in the task force to end racism, but not in the thing that's potentially going to also affect them directly. So, yeah, I think that they need to be involved. Obviously, they also released the schedule. So let's talk about that schedule. I actually got one thing wrong because I didn't do enough looking. Again, busy morning. It's crazy. It was like a seriously very crazy morning. Nonetheless, opening now, Purdue is no longer homecoming. They're hosting Purdue like they were going to. Then at Minnesota, hosting Penn State, at Rutgers, hosting Michigan State, which I had wrong. At Indiana, which I also had wrong. I just had them as they were originally. This is great for the sake of it shifts that imbalance that happened before. I would rather that they play Indiana Like, they usually host Indiana and then go to Ohio State or vice versa. If Indiana is going to continue to be the game right before the game, like it is again this year, I'd rather have them both either be on the road or both. And it's not always that case, because there's been times where they've played Indiana at Indiana and then gone to Penn State. But it shifts that imbalance. It also obviously shifts the Ohio State-Michigan State imbalance that has existed. Michigan State fans, I saw a little, were upset about the fact that they have to play in Ann Arbor twice in a row. Guess what? Michigan had to do it in 2013 and 2014. Back when Michigan State was a legitimate power. So, you know what? They've got to do it this time. But they get to do it with no crowd. So, benefit for them there. Let's see. At Indiana, week 7. Week 8, at Ohio State. Week 9, they host Wisconsin. So, that's kind of a brutal stretch. Because I think Indiana's going to be pretty good. And then they play at Ohio State. So, they 2 in a row on the road. And then they come home. And win or like, if it doesn't really matter in a way. Win or lose against Ohio State. Then you got to play Wisconsin. I mean, granted, we'll know what Wisconsin is on Halloween. That was supposed to be a day off that they were going to have, but it's not now. But playing Wisconsin, that's to me, that's just kind of terrifying for the sake of, say they lose that Ohio State game, which is what I predicted in my predictions. And then, like, you can let the same game beat you twice. We've heard that before. We've seen it before. So then there's a rumor going around. My best friend just sent me, apparently it comes from 24/7, the Bucknut site, that Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh got in a tiff on the phone. And Ryan Day is saying that they need to hang 100, run up the score against Michigan. You know what? I mean, that would be pretty demoralizing if that was something that was able to happen. I mean, that's essentially what has been happening anyway. But... anyway, Maryland actually kept the same exact date, November 7th, and then you had another bye week, and then you go to Northwestern. That's the new game. So, I think it's a good little schedule. I kind of like everything that's going on here. Echoing kind of John Jansen, what he posted on Twitter, this whole, you know, this is an indication that football can happen. Listen, if it happens... It happens a month from today. We might be 30 days away from football. And I know there's a lot of people out there saying no, it's not going to happen. I just say maybe, because you know what? Maybe I'm an optimist. I do kind of agree with, and this is one of the things that, you know, you see certain people saying, like, there's people rooting. I know this is a Clay Travis thing, and he doesn't really... He's not going to garner a lot of sympathy. He's kind of a firebrand. But I kind of agree with him with that there's a lot of people out there that are sports writers that almost are rooting for it to not happen. And I don't think it's like they're legitimately wanting it to not happen. I just think that they are being pessimistic, whereas I'm being optimistic. And it's the same thing. A week ago, baseball, with everything that happened with the Marlins and the Cardinals, people said, well, today was the last day of baseball. Guess what? It's gone on another week. Yes, some teams it hasn't. The Tigers haven't played all week, and they're not going to because of the Cardinals. But still, I think that they're going to find a way to make it work. If we wouldn't be this far down the road if it was honestly that much of a foregone conclusion that there will be no football. All right? Like, that's the thing. And for some leagues, they've decided they're not going to do it. It would all but ruin college sports in some degree if Division I level football didn't play any games at all. So I think they're going to try to play games. And it's not just the schools. And you got a lot of guys that are opting out. Rashad Bateman opted out for Minnesota. Micah Parsons opted out for Penn State. You're going to have some guys that are going to say, like, whatever my draft stock is, that's fine. But just as much as you're going to see those guys, you're going to see guys like Quiddy Pay that are like, I want a season to happen because I need to make sure that I do what I can to set myself up for my future. There's going to be people that are players that have that mindset. I know there are people that have that mindset. I've seen the posts, and I know, and I've talked to certain people. they have that mindset. And I think if you have a willing coalition of people, of players, student athletes that want to play, and the conference does what it needs to do to make everything good for them, right by them, to allow them to do that, there's no reason why you can't. Yeah, you might not get 10 games, whether it's because a team is decimated by the time that you get to that game and they can't field a team. I mean, it's hard to do that in football with 120 something players, but if you know, say there's enough of an outbreak, like what happened at Rutgers or Indiana, MSU, and they're like, hey, we just can't do it. Maybe that gets flexed into the bye week. Maybe it gets flexed later. Who knows what'll happen as far as that's concerned. But if you have enough people that say, like, listen, this is what I want to do. If you can do this for us to make it happen, then we want it to happen. Then I say, let it happen. Because it's, yes, there's going to be risks. There's risks with everything. I just got back from dinner. There's risks to going out to dinner in downtown Ann Arbor, which weirdly, that's the first time I've done it since I moved here, went out to dinner. But yeah, that's the case. Anyhow, we need to move on. We're going to continue talking about all of this stuff. There's other things that we obviously need to get into as well, which I have discussed already. And but first, we do obviously need to talk about RockAuto.com, who put on this show for us. And RockAuto.com is a family business. They serve auto parts customers, and they've been doing it for 20 years online. Go to RockAuto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. I've used it extensively. And I'm telling you, you should too, because they have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. When I needed my timing belts done on my Cadillac, you know what? It wasn't nearly the price that I would have had it done at a dealer, because I had a mechanic, got the parts from Rock Auto, $1,000 rather than $5. I'm telling you, that's the difference. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, so we had that big drop of all that intel from the Big Ten. I mean, it's been a long time coming. It took them a month plus from the point. I remember when they dropped the conference-only news and they said it was going to be next week, and Steve Lorenz tweeted yesterday that Rutgers was partially holding them up. Yeah. Lots going on. But on top of all of that, and Zuri's joining the show here again, I think she's going to try to jump up on my lap to legitimately join the show, and she's doing exactly that. Like I talk about the student athletes thing and doing right by them. This is a story that happened on Sunday, and I still just do not understand why this keeps happening. I understand Jim Harbaugh is a firebrand. He's going to get a lot of attention all the time, just like Zuri's getting right now. And it's just, but like sometimes it's undue, because if you want to talk about a guy that does things for the student athletes, he's always had their backs. And I think it's ridiculous. So we're going to talk about two things here. Number one, you have Chris Murphy, who comes on and he's a senator from Connecticut. and he's trying to score political points. And I understand there's people out there that agree with him. I mean, I agree with the premise in the sense of these coaches make a lot of money. And if they were making less of the $7.5 million like Jim Harbaugh is making, and keep in mind, he singled out Jim Harbaugh and he singled out Michigan and said if he, instead of making $7.5 million, if he made $1 million, he could give every one of his players $50,000. And there you go. Now, here's the thing. This is why it's so misguided, and I wrote about this over the weekend. Jim Harbaugh has been a student-athlete advocate. He continues to be a student-athlete advocate in a way that other coaches are not, right? I don't know if you saw the disaster that happened with Nick Rolovich from Washington State. Hasn't even coached a game there yet. Comes from Hawaii, and they have the Pac-12 United situation, and supposedly it's a he-said-she-said thing right now. He said, like, yeah, this is not, you know, we had a conversation, me and some of the athletes, and, you know, what the repercussions would be. But it wasn't like, it's more of like if you choose to sit out, then unfortunately you're not a student athlete here and you can't utilize it. And they're saying like that he was kicking players off the team or whatever that said that they had concerns about COVID and, you know, signed the Pac-12 United thing. Jim Harbaugh would never, never think about it. Open letter about helping the student athletes. One-time transfer rule, which is going to be enacted. And you can sit there and make up all these false controversies. And this is the second thing. Actually, there's three things here. This is the second thing was, I don't know if you saw this really weird 11 Warriors article where they are faking Big Ten Media Days interviews and they get to Jim Harbaugh. I don't know. Like I read kind of skimmed through it yesterday night and I'm like, I don't really understand what I read, but it's just like, it's him saying they have Harbaugh saying stuff like, oh, I should have climbed a tree and whatever. Why shouldn't he have climbed a tree? What, because you thought it was ridiculous? Guess who didn't think it was ridiculous? David Long. I saw that tree. David Long showed me that tree that Jim Harbaugh climbed. And you know what? It helped endear him to David Long, who was a damn good cornerback for Michigan. Shouldn't jump in pools. Helped him, you know, that didn't even help him. That was the commitment video for Oliver Martin. Then he did it again for charity. The fact that people get hung up on some of these things is insane to me. Let him be who he is. Let him do what he's going to do. It's not hurting anybody, right? Do we not live in a society in which we're supposed to be able to eat, you know, to each their own, the pursuit of happiness? If Jim Harbaugh wants to climb a tree, if he wants to have sleepovers with recruits, as long as that he's not having a sleepover with a recruit that doesn't want him to have one. Guess what? He had sleepover with Quinn Nordine, had one with David Long. Both ended up coming to Michigan. Like a 90% success rate recruiting wise. Like I've said before, he needs to do that again. But that's where you see places like 11 Warriors and, you know, RCMB and national media people too attack Jim Harbaugh for doing some innovative things, but they don't pay enough attention to the innovative things he actually does or is trying to do to help student athletes. They want to pay attention to the shiny thing over in the corner. And people run with this stuff because, say, you know, attacking Harbaugh in Michigan gets you clicks. I guess, or at least gets people's attention in a way that if he would have said the same thing about Ryan Day. Here's the other thing about it. Jim Harbaugh is one of three of the top 10 highest paid head coaches in college football, one of three that took a pay cut due to coronavirus. Michigan, one of the most profitable athletic departments, in the country, trying to do things the right way, trying to make sure that they have all the sports, right? It's not just about the football players. Now, should the football players get something? I believe they should, personally. And they're eventually going to start, you know, we're going to open that door. We're going to open Pandora's box a little bit, which is a good thing, in my opinion, with name, image, and likeness, which I believe starts taking effect next year. Not this year, but next year. So let these things happen as they're going to happen, and let them find a way to make sure that it's equitable. Because you're not going to be able to just give every student athlete $50,000, because you're going to have to do that everywhere. And not everywhere has that type of money. Michigan, yes, it has that type of money. Ohio State, Texas, the Blue Bloods, sure. Do I think Michigan State can do it? I'm not sure. Do I think Troy can do it? No. Do I think Eastern Michigan can do it? Hell no. So let's just be realistic about things too. I feel like people aren't realistic about their goals when it comes to a lot of these things. I think name, image, likeness is a good start, but I still think baby steps. You don't have to get it all at once. And I think it's absurd that Harbaugh becomes the poster child for these things, just like he was the one who was put on the ESPN article that explained that he was one of the only ones taking the pay cut. They tweeted it out with this whole, you know, coaches aren't taking pay cuts, Harbaugh front and center. Guess what? He's one of the ones that actually did. Why not go attack Dabo Swinney? Is Clemson not a team that's been winning at the highest level? Won a national championship 2 years ago. Was in the national championship game last year. Like, go get that guy. Why do you got a hand on Harbaugh? I don't know. All right. Let's finish out talking just a little recruiting thing. I wrote about Rocco Spindler. I'm going to tell you what I heard, what I know, which, let's face it, nobody knows anything, but here's what I know. Let's get to it. Momentarily. Okay, so we'll finish this out here. Probably relatively briefly here, but I wrote about Rocco Spindler. I know that there's been a lot of Michigan people who've been up in arms, fans online, because they see that Steve Wiltfong put in a crystal ball with a confidence level of 7 in for Notre Dame. So that's for Rocco Spindler, Clarkston, Michigan, 4-star offensive guard. Now, I haven't heard anything from Rocco as far as where he stands in his recruitment, because I know he's not going to tell me anything. I mean, he wouldn't even admit it's a Michigan-Notre Dame battle. Back when I talked to him in March or April, whenever that was. I mean, he did, and then he said, well, no, all my schools are even. Like, come on. I've known where this is with you for a while. So now the crystal ball is leaning towards Notre Dame, 5-4. Now, I talked to someone close to Michigan, a name you all know, every single one of you, and they said that they still believe it's a 50-50 chance at this point. They haven't heard anything as of late yesterday when I spoke to this person, as in Tuesday, to indicate that Notre Dame is for sure going to be the choice. Now, listen, I've been saying for a long time, while I had a good feeling for Michigan, and I put this in the article too, I know one, and I'll be a little bit more candid with it here. Before any of y'all knew who Rocco Spindler was, so this was a while ago. This was not last year, but the year before, and I think it was like January or something like that. I started to get to know one of his handlers just by complete flukiness, right? It wasn't like one of those things where it was, where, you know, I sought this person out. I was sitting and writing somewhere public, and this person's like, oh, yeah, I know everything that's going on with Rocco Spindler. And even at that time for me, because I've notoriously, I'm not looking at 2023s. I'm barely looking at 2022s. Right now, I'm still looking at 2021. And I've been that way ever since I was at 24/7 Sports. I always let Steve handle the future recruiting for the most part. I've done some 2022 interviews. I'm still a little sad that Caden Saunders ended up going to Penn State, for instance, because I think he's going to be an absolute beast. He's a guy that I talked to about Michigan. Anyway, it was one of those situations with Rocco. And when I say one of his handlers, I mean, he's with him at any one of his recruiting visits. And he, I've seen him at Michigan Stadium. I've seen him when Rocco did visits to Michigan State, when Michigan's playing Michigan State. I've known a lot of the behind the scenes. Notre Dame has always blown Rocco Spindler away. The way they pitched him, the fact that you're part of the student body, that you're not just this high and mighty football player. You're part of this. You are roomed with another student elsewhere. I never felt like that was going to be easy to overcome based off of what I knew a couple years ago. And that wasn't, that's just when I met the guy. It was a couple years ago. This happened probably a year and a half ago. Sometime before Rocco went to the barbecue at the big house and all of that stuff. But, I've always felt that the Notre Dame thing was going to be really difficult to beat. But I do think that Michigan's done a really good job. He's close with the recruits. He's been on campus a million times. Ed Warner's track record speaks for itself. I've always felt that it was still going to be an uphill battle. If I had still had a crystal ball pick, like I once did, once upon a time, I don't know that I would have ever put one in for Michigan. But I don't also know that I ever would have put one in for Notre Dame, and if I did, it would have been really low confidence. So take it for what it's worth. 50-50 battle at the moment, still. And we'll see what happens. And you know what? If it would be very disheartening for them to lose him. And I think that had Madison not defected, I think it would have been a slam dunk for Michigan. Because he has a great relationship with Greg Madison as well. But close with Matt Dudek, close with J.J. McCaffrey. Sorry, not McCaffrey, J.J. McCarthy. Anytime I talk to Rocco, those are the two names that always come up. Michigan's putting its best foot forward, so we'll just have to wait and see to Saturday when he decides. All right, we've got the mailbag tomorrow on Thursday. Get your question in on Twitter. I have already called for questions earlier today. So you've got plenty of time to get that in. We'll be recording tomorrow night, as we tend to. Appreciate you listening. We will be back on Thursday, as always. Lockdown Wolverines podcast. I think that's all I got for the outro. Peace.